And they say no. I'm trying, okay? It's great to be here. Looking forward to speaking to you this morning. Last time we spoke, I think we just moved into our flat. And since then, God has furnished it. Help to you guys. We're grateful and thankful for that. And, you know, God is, let's see, what else has happened? We finally got our kids in school this week. Thank you, Jesus. My daughter loves her school. And I'll check in on my son. I think the first 2 days they were there, there was 3 days, there were fights. Two fights. I think one was a gang fight. So that'll put some hair in his chest. But actually, when I was in England, that was kind of the norm. You know, as you guys know, I grew up in Norwich, and you know, they may be rural, but they're pretty violent out there. Maybe you have nothing else to do except for just hit each other and punch each other. But that was a common occurrence. And actually, the funny thing about it is, I was in the middle of the fight. So yes, the Lord has saved me. But it's great to be. I definitely want a deep heart appreciation. I know my wife will say this for everybody who's helped this transition to be a joy and a pleasure. And honestly, there's been a lot of trials and tribulations over the last few weeks. But you guys, anytime when I share, I always share about the East London Church and how you guys have really made us very welcome. And your hospitality is definitely appreciative. And, you know, give yourself a round of applause for that. There you go. All right. What was that? I like to interact with the audience, as you can see. But it's kind of interesting coming back to England. I sometimes forget how people love football over here. Oh, yeah. And even like yesterday, we actually went out to the store, and I went while the games were on. And it was great that you can actually get around places. It was kind of fun. I'm like, you know what? I need to do this more often. But what I want to talk about today is a goal. And in football, we have goals. You know, why do you turn up to a football game? Obviously, to watch your football team win. Do we have any football fans out there? Yes. I bet if I went through the teams like Arsenal, any Arsenal fans out there? There you go. West Ham. Chelsea. Tottenham. Oh, that didn't go down well, did it? I was in the North group a couple of weeks ago. If I had said Tottenham, they all probably went, yay. But people are passionate about their football. Can I get an amen to that? And it's kind of interesting. Every time, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're rooting there for your team, the ultimate apex of jubilation is when somebody scores a goal. Am I right about that? You can't even hold it in. You jump up. Even some of the sisters are passionate about football. Can I get an amen, sisters? You know what's so funny? I think the women are more passionate about a national sport than the Americans are. We had a teen event, and the mom there was like, I got the radio on, and she was popping in and popping out. She and her team was doing, popping in, popping out. Oh, you know who she is, too. Go! I got this off the internet. I just thought that kind of embraced the English spirit of football. Go! Pray for me. But I watched the highlights of the England game this week. Oh, that took the wind out of things, didn't it? And I'd never even heard of this team before. I can't even pronounce it. And I'm watching it, I'm like, this is dismal. And they played 90 minutes, and I watched the. I'm glad I watched the highlights. I'm glad I wasn't foolish enough to watch the whole game. I was just kind of lackluster. It ends 0-0, naught. And I'm like, them silly fools. And I went online and said, how much money do you pay for these football games? And the tickets go up to £300. And I said, who would pay £300 to watch that? Just imagine walking away from that performance and saying, I can't believe I spent any money to watch that game. Have you ever gone to your favorite football team and you know, you walk away and it's like, I can't believe that. But where am I going with this? Be patient, not Norwich. You're funny, aren't you? There's always one in the crowd. You need a hug, don't you? You need a special hug. I want to talk about a goalless life. A life without any ending, any jubilation. I imagine a lot of people walked away from that England game and said, what's the point? A lot of times you walk away, sometimes when you're so discouraged, you're like, I'm not going to support that team anymore. I know some of you avid fans have felt that. It's meaningless. It's an empty routine. It's shallow. It's a waste of time and energy. And now I'm making the transition from a football game to your life. Because if you have a goalless life, you will feel all these things. It's purposeless. And you're not fulfilled. And unfortunately, some of us, quite frankly, some of us, quite frankly, feel that even though we come to church. And there's a silence. I got this off the internet. There's actually a goalless club out there called the Apathy Club. This is true. It says, did you hear about the college students who wanted to form a new organization on their campus? They called it the Apathy Club. Isn't that exciting? The Apathy Club wasn't going to be like any other student group, where most organizations have a purpose or goal or some common interest to unify and motivate them. This club was advertised as believing in nothing and pursuing nothing. Yeah! I know you're excited. He's still praying for me? Thank you. It says they simply didn't care about anything. And they were going to demonstrate their apathy in an organized fashion. Solidarity. Just one problem. The self-appointed officers of the Apathy Club advertised the first meeting and not a single person showed up. Because anyone who might have been interested didn't care enough to attend. Well, at least you care enough to attend this morning. Give yourself a round of applause. This is not the Apathy Club. But the question is, why are we here? Do we have an ultimate goal to our faith? And what is the goal of our faith? Why are you here? Why do you do this? Why do you come here every Sunday, get up extra early when no other person is up, everybody else is in bed? Why are you here? In the overview of faith, what is faith? To some are visiting, and if you're like me, 20 plus years ago, I never went to church. I never read the Bible. Actually, I persecuted people that went to church. So when I first sat there the first time, faith was like, what's faith? So I'm kind of giving you the ABCs here. It's allegiance or duty to a person, loyalty to fidelity, to one's promise, sincerity of intention, belief and trust, and the loyalty to God. That's what we're focusing in on today.
We are a godly body. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
10 of us. Amen. It says, firm belief in something for which there is no proof, a complete trust. That's what faith means. How important is faith? There's several scriptures here. One must examine their faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says the righteous will live by faith, Romans 1:17. It says we must walk by faith, Ephesians 4:5. We imitate faith. You ask yourself, who am I imitating? It says we are sanctified by faith. Faith heals. Faith produces miracles. Last time I talked about miracles, remember I had the loaf of bread? Okay. Moving right along. We must excel in our faith. 2 Corinthians 8:7. It says we must make every effort to add to our faith. 2 Peter 1:5. And we are saved by faith. How important is faith? What is the goal of your faith this morning? Here's a little poem. Anybody like poetry? Okay, the same 10 and 11. I do too. Thank you. It says, doubt sees obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkness of night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes. And faith answers. I like organ. Turn over to 1 Peter. Let's look at the scriptures. Where's your faith at this morning? Got to have faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we look at 4 points this morning. And we're only going to look at actually 7 verses. I know, good job. My wife's encouraging me. That's a good sign. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the first point this morning is a protective faith. It says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you through what? Through faith. Are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now, where do I get this point from? In verse 5, it says, who through faith are shielded by God's power. If we have faith, brothers and sisters, we can be shielded by God's power. How does that make you feel? Encouraging. If I do my part and have faith, God is going to shield me with His power. How powerful is your God? Then you ask yourself, what has God shielded me from? See, a lot of times we're oblivious when we're in Christ what God has shielded us from. Do you want me to share some things with you? Okay, I will. What has God protected us from? Bad relationships. Can I get an amen to that? My goodness. I look back at my relationships before Christ and after Christ, and I'm like, thank you, Jesus. He saved me. How about sin and depravity? When I look at the first 25 years of my life, the alcohol, the abuse, the immorality, the perversion, the wild living, and then I look at literally the other 25 years, I'm like, wow, God has saved me from so much. How about poor choices? Anybody ever made a poor choice in their life?
Yeah.
Couple of us, the same 10. Amen. I'm 11 right here. Poor choices. When you have God's wisdom, when you can seek advice and input, you stop making them poor choices. We are protected from the attacks of Satan.
Right.
We know this scripture. When we look, when we put on the armor of God, you know what the shield is called? Who said that? Wally? Say it louder.
Shield of faith.
We have the shield of faith that stops the flaming arrows of Satan. So Satan not only wants to kill you, but to burn you to death. But God gives us the shield of what, Wally? Shield of what, brothers and sisters? Awesome. It's like 20 of us now. We're warming up. But you know what? The acid test for me is when I look at my close friends and my siblings. Because actually, between my brother and sister, there's only literally 3 years difference. We literally grew up in the same schools with the same friends and whatever. We have the same nurture, if you would. And I look at them and they've been divorced. They have children out of wedlock. They have a lot of emotional issues. A lot of rage and a lot of anger. And I grew up in that same environment, and it's only by the grace of God. I've been in a marriage now for almost 20 years. I have two children that, Lord willing, will love God. And hopefully not make the same mistakes that I did as a child. But look at what God has saved you from. We are shielded by the power of God. That's inspiring. Now why do I put this? Being in Bible studies. It doesn't even make any sense, does it?
Where did that come from?
You know why we need to be in Bible studies? Because sometimes we forget how good we have it. Sometimes we live in a religious bubble and everyone, you know, being late is probably the most drama-filled thing that's going on in our lives. I'm late and I'm a sinner. Little Jimmy forgot his football boots. But when we get into other people's lives and understand the sin and depravity that is going on in their lives, sometimes I come out of Bible study, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, what I've been saved from. Because of my faith, God has shielded me with His power. It's time to get back into people's lives. It's time to appreciate all these things that God has saved us from. I think also it would help us emotionally and spiritually connect with the lostness of people and remind us what we've been saved from. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Moving right along. Here's some stats on the power of God. Talking about the universe. You know, I'll pick up the... But how many are 100 billion? Because it says there's 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. And God created all this. He spoke it into creation. That's daunting. Think about that. It says how many are 100 billion? If we were to count 250 a minute... Day and night, it would take us 1,000 years to count to 100 billion. Multiply this by a few trillion and probably the number of galaxies. And perhaps we have a better understanding of Christ's words, all power is given unto me. Brothers and sisters, we are shielded by this power. Let's look at a precious faith in verse 7. You with me? It says, these have come so that your what? Faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. How precious is your faith? It says precious faith, we should live by it, walk by it, imitate it. We talked about this. Excel in our faith. And I talked about this, making every effort. It compares in the scriptures our faith to gold, our faith to money and riches. And the question is, how much effort do we go after our faith? Or how much effort do we go after adding to our riches? How much time and energy do we spend going after things of this world instead of spiritual things? The question is your faith worth more than gold? Isn't that a poem? It says, gold, 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 bright and yellow, hard and cold, molten, graven, hammered and rolled, heavy to get and light to hold, hoarded, bartered, bought and sold, stolen, borrowed, squandered and poured, spurned by the young and hugged by the old, to the very verge of the churchyard mold, price of many crime untold, gold, 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 gold. I don't have time to read this, but this is the story of Pompeii. What happened in Pompeii? Wally, you're so intelligent. You've been looking at my notes. You've been looking at my notes. Pompeii, the earthquake. It happened so quick that people were literally couldn't even run out of their house. And there's a story about this woman that she could have got out of her house, but she grabbed all the gold and possessions that she could. And as she ran out of her house, the molten lava came over the city and she died. And when they excavated the land, they found the gold and the jewels in her hands. That literally, her body was configured, and obviously the bones were there, but gold was there, and they saw her clutching her gold. That if she had left it in the house, she would have got away. Could be her, her, her. I'm gender, you know. I put him. If I just put her, then, well, what about women? The question is, what has stolen your faith? It's the most valuable commodity we have, is faith. When we leave this plane, when we die, or the rapture happens, the words that you will hear, and hopefully we'll all hear, is well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. Okay? Let's talk about a proven faith in verse 7. Let's read it one more time. And my wife's going to come up and share briefly, because I want her to share, because I think she is an exemplary example of proven faith. Amen? Let's read verse 7 again. Are you with me? It says, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when our Jesus Christ is revealed. I'm going to have my wife come up, and she's going to talk about a proven faith. Amen? No problem.
Well, thanks, brothers and sisters, for giving me the opportunity to share. Obviously, a lot has been going on in our world. A lot has probably been going on in your world, too. I think in terms of just a faith being refined. I definitely feel like that has been the process that my Heavenly Father's been putting me through. And I'm grateful for the challenge. I really am. No discipline seems well at the time, but at the end reaps a harvest of righteousness. And I do see that harvest emerging, and I look forward to seeing what the continued harvest will be. You know, I think about, it's only been about 2 months that we've been here.
Yeah.
And, oh my, what's happened in 2 months. I mean, just a whirlwind. And I think it's really, for me, it's been 2 months of refining and 2 months of stretching. Just stretching. And, you know, my Heavenly Father, He knows what He's doing. He will not stretch me beyond what I can tolerate. And He's stretching. I mean, I feel like I'm on, you know, one of those things that stretch you really good. He's stretching. But you know what? I invited the stretching in my life. And, you know, especially the sisters, brothers, you don't have to listen to this point, but sisters, do we invite stretching into our life? Granted, I know we're busy because we're women, we're mothers, we're singles, we're professional, we're, you name it, we are. However, we can be like, I'm stretching up! No more stretching! No! We have got to allow God to continue to stretch us and refine us. It's part of, you know, this process of being more and more like Jesus. You know, I think about, you know, some of the things that have stretched me in just the 2 months that I've been here. Number one, when we first arrived here, and I know we've probably shared this before, but, you know, in the first 5 days that we were here, or the first 11 days that we were here, we stayed in 5 different homes. And that's a stretch. You know, it's enough to just be in one person's home because it's not yours. But to be in 5 different homes, your family of 4, living out of suitcases. Tough. Here it was that I came from a really comfortable home to be, you know, this going forward, you know, wherever we were. And that was tough. I think about when we were able to finally get our flat. That was quite an endeavor just to get that. And, you know, it being probably the third the size of our home. And it's like, okay, I'm home. You know, I think about just it taking us 2 months to get our kids into school. Now, I understand from some of you that I've spoken to that that's pretty commonplace. Well, I wish I would have got the memo. I did not know that.
Yeah, we missed that one.
Yeah. Didn't know that. You know, even something as silly as getting internet and TV, you know, especially with us just coming from America, this actually was crucial communication for us because we didn't have like our phones, our landline or whatever, and we actually needed that communication to keep in touch with our ministry and even some of our donors that are supporting us to be here. And so that was really irksome, to say the least. And things just not going as smooth as I would have hoped that they would. Times that Sky Network would say they would come and just wouldn't come, and I'd be sitting around the house waiting all day and just thinking, what's this? You know, like, yeah. Well, right. Right. You just did the thing. Welcome to the UK.
We're not losing our minds.
Didn't get the memo. Rude awakening. You know? You know, and then I think, then, you know, we got those things figured out and such, and then we had an issue with our website, our Norwich website, where we were receiving our donations to support us, and we've had to do all kind of paperwork to get these things going. There was some kind of confusion, and we're still in the process of doing that. Amen. God's totally taking care of us. You know, in the kingdom, you will never be homeless, and you will never be hungry. So we'll be fine. God's working it all out. But just even in the process of that, feeling like, wow, really? And then, you know, just even visa, I have to get my visa or whatever it is that I need to get here. There's different the few options that we have with my husband, of course, being a citizen, having dual citizenship. But just, you know, I was kind of joking about it. You know, the Sting song, I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. Whatever. What is it? I'm a lunchtime in New York. What did you say? I'm an Englishman in New York. So that's been my tip. I'm an alien. I'm a pseudo legal alien. I'm an alien. I'm an American in London. That's been my theme song. That's really been my theme song. You know, I think another thing is just that having, because I only know of one home, that being America, I had to learn the hard way to stop comparing America and the UK, just because it's apples and oranges. And because that was my place of normalcy, that's why I kept getting so upset, because I was so used to a certain way instead of just embracing my new home and embracing the ways of the UK culture. And, you know, I think about it, something as silly as a dryer. Okay, I know your sisters have heard me whine about the dryer.
Oh, no.
Really? Just getting used to that. I didn't realize that it's this commonplace just to wash and then put them on the lines or whatever. And I was very used to just drying clothes and going about my life and not hoping that it doesn't rain or is it going to be too cold and maybe my clothes will be dry in 2 or 3 days. I know this is probably silly, but these are some of the ways I was stretched. Just learning how to do this, you know? How do you do this Brit thing? What do you do? Oh, you put them on the radiator. Oh, okay. You know, I think it was definitely hard, too, with my daughter. Just, you know, she was having such a difficult time in this transition. She would cry nightly. Hard tears, wanting to just go home. That's all she kept saying. Why go home? One night she had her tears just saturated. Her pillow was saturated with tears. And my son was so upset hearing his sister cry in the next room, because we've got paper-thin walls, that it was starting to disturb him. So these things have definitely been hard, but why do I share all these things? Not to just sit here and be a wine fest. Because of what God has done in stretching me. What he's done has now helped me to see the opposite of what all I've gone through. Just one, just the privilege of being able to be in his mighty kingdom, that I had 5 different places to stay. You know, I think about just even having, you know, my small flat. Well, amen, where he put the flat. Some of you guys have been over in just the location, and it's great for the community and the people that I'm meeting and being next to the train or the tube, because I don't drive. So just being that close, you know, to the train to have some independence around here. You know, I think about just the 2 months of trying to get my kids in school. Well, amen, at least they're in. And now things are getting more normal around the house. You know, I think about just the whole thing with the internet and the TV. Well, doggone, at least I have it. Because I know in some countries it sure ain't commonplace. It really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, I think about just, you know, the donation thing with our website. You know, it is humbling. Literally, I feel like a bird waiting on my father's hand to drop whatever he decides. That's what I feel like. And again, it's hard being, you know, a mature professional woman, my husband the same, and being in this place in our life when we don't have to be. But we invited the stretching. I think about just, you know, okay, I need to get my, you know, status here of being visa or whatever that I need to do. But, hey, what a privilege that I get to live abroad and be in a mission. And that my children get the great privilege of being able to study in another country. I mean, oh my goodness. You see the difference? It's just all in the way we see things. I think about just, you know, not comparing. Again, I've got the privilege of having 2 homes, America and the UK. Not everyone gets that opportunity. They usually have to just stay where they're born. You know, I think about the whole, you know, washer-dryer thing. Well, hey, at least I have clothes to wash.
Yeah.
At least I have, even though it's mounds of clothes because I got a family of 4, at least I have a family to wash for, children to wash for, hands to be able to wash. You know, I think about just my daughter and all her tears. What a tremendous opportunity was for her, and still is for us all, to continue to trust in God. Her little heart, her little 8-year-old heart, is having to learn how to trust God. And Lord willing, these are going to be the things that are going to help her all the more, and my son, to become disciples when their time comes. I just want to thank you for your support, your love, your prayers. I can honestly say those things have been tough. I have never once said, oh, I got to go back to America. Never. I mean, I haven't done all this, given up everything to get here only to want to go back. No, God's brought us here for a purpose and a mission. And I'm here with my Father, and I trust his hand.
Amen. Amen. scriptures here make it very clear, if we are going to have a faith that is proven, it needs to be melted down. It needs to be proved genuine. But if we have the right spirit, it results in praise, glory, and honor to God. How's your spirit? How's your joy level? Do you praise God for things that you're going through? Do you give Him glory and do you give Him honor? The scripture also says Christ is revealed through the testing of one's faith. We will never see Christ for who He is if we are not embracing, not enduring, but embracing trials and tribulations in our lives. My final point, a paradisical faith. Paradise. Where's paradise? Heaven. Thank you, hon. Wally, you didn't say heaven. See, you didn't see the last page, did you? Ha ha! Ha ha! Pray for me. In verse 4, it talks about an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, for each and every one of us who are faithful in Christ. Then you jump down to verse 7. It says that that through this refinement we may be proved genuine and may result in what? Praise. And what? And honor. We're getting there. It says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. What a great faith that we have not physically seen Jesus, but we love Him. That is faith in itself. Anybody loves Jesus here? Oh wow, we're waking up. That's good. That's a good thing. And you have not seen Him. That is faith. Brothers and sisters, that is faith. It says, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving your what? Goal. What is your goal? It's more than a Saturday football game. You are receiving the goal of your what? The salvation of your soul. Everyone's talking about a holiday. Everyone's going somewhere. Nobody wants to be here. It's true. It's funny when you leave for a while and you come back and it's like, I'm going on holiday. Everyone seems to be going on holiday. Everybody wants to move to Spain, move somewhere warmer, and they just stay here and complain. But then you go on holiday and you complain too. And I'm like, what is the ultimate holiday? What is the ultimate resting place? It's where? Heaven. Some of us are so physical, we're looking for this rest. We're saving up all our money to go on holiday. We're coming up with creative ways. We even brag where we're going. We need to brag that we're going to heaven. So just think of stepping on a shore and finding it heaven. Of taking hold of a hand and finding it's God's hand. Of breathing a new air and finding it's heavenly air. Of feeling invigorated. You want to feel invigorated? And finding immortality. Of passing from a storm and tempest to an unbroken calm. Of waking up and finding it home. Heaven. Going to heaven. The ultimate holiday, the ultimate resting place. The thing that really moves me here is this inexpressible joy. An inexpressible joy you just cannot hold in. It's instinct. But where does this joy come from? It comes because we have a goal. We have a resting place. We have a final destiny, which is eternity. Anytime when we take that out of the equations, brothers and sisters, and our goal is only just to get through the day, we miss it. And you will never have all these superlatives that we see on this slide right here. What is the goal? Why are you here? It kind of amazes me when I watch a football match and just see the joy and the passion and the zeal for what? Really? On a scale of things, what? And to see this kind of inexpressible joy, humanistic joy that I see in the stadiums around these football fields. And understanding that the English people can be that zealous. Outside of the stadium, they won't even look at you. If you go on the tube, it's like, is this the same person that was standing right next to me when Arsenal scored a goal? But how much more joy should we have when we are assured, reassured, that we have a heavenly home? Our ultimate goal, brothers and sisters, is the goal of our salvation. Our ultimate goal is to have a protected faith, a precious faith, a proven faith, and a paradisical faith. Let us never, ever lose sight of the goal. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marvin and Cherise. Thanks for being so open with us, sharing your lives. The great thing about being a disciple, being a Christian, is we know we are sinners, we're not perfect. We have our battles, we have our struggles, we have our deepest moments. And there's the confidence of knowing that we have a God who is all the qualities that we've looked at today. And I think personalizing that for yourself, that God is, whatever trials they are, even over the last few weeks in my own life, I've had to turn from praying prayers of woe and why this and why not, and to praying thanksgiving and yes, thank you for this pain. And I leave the prayer saying, why did I thank God for pain? Just as Cherise and Marvin have shared. But all these things, amazingly, you find that living that life does bring the inexpressible joy, the things that don't come intuitively. So let me encourage us all, reorganize your lives to put God first. Organize your life where God is the focal point. And then all these things will come through. Just a couple of closing announcements. Next week, Friday, we'll all be meeting together, so please make